thank Elwan for preaching last weekend. Last Sunday. Wonderful job, Elwan. Amen. Wonderful job. Praise the Lord. For some reason, I'm dry. It's just the heat, I think. If I get some, dry bones. Come alive, huh? If you would, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 64. And today I'm using the New Living Translation. I don't know how many times I've read through Isaiah, but this passage of Scripture is one of those that jump out at you when you read it. So we're going to start with verse number 1, and then we'll pray. Holler when you're there.
64, right?
Isaiah 64. All right. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. Did you get that last little bit? Amen. Who works for those who wait for him. Glory to God. Father, we just give you thanks for this verse, these verses, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, anoint this message with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Let us hear your voice, Lord. Move in each one of us. Don't leave us alone, Lord Jesus. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read this again. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. Doesn't that sound exciting? How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did some awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. Oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. Amen. Wood burning, water boiling, mountains quaking, and nations trembling. Wood burning, water boiling, mountains quaking, and nations trembling. These are all events that take place in reaction to an outward or internal force. Take boiling water, for instance. In order for water to boil, heat must be applied to raise the temperature of the water. At 211 degrees, water is hot, very hot. But at 212 degrees, water begins to boil. It takes an increased source of heat to change water from 211 degrees to 212 degrees and beyond. This boiling water will then produce steam, which is useful for other purposes. So raising the temperature of water by one extra degree means the difference between something being very hot and something that will generate enough force to power a machine, even something as big as a locomotive. So one extra degree can make a difference in water's ability to simply be hot or to produce power. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus said, "I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it was already burning. I've come to set the world on fire, and I wish it was already burning." Theologians tell us that this phrase, "world on fire," spoken of in this verse, represents what will happen when anointed preaching of the gospel hits the world. The Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is intended to burn up all the chaff, the unacceptable, useless, unprofitable things in our lives so that we can function as God's people and God's church. You and I have the responsibility as a church of Jesus Christ to unleash the anointed Word of God so that divine purging can take place, breaking through to this generation with God's divine truth, God's almighty power, and God's supernatural strength. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests on you." Fiery trials. When water is pushed to its boiling point, it is because someone has increased the source of fire, making the water hotter. Saints, this morning, God is turning up the heat. God is turning up the heat, so much so it will result in the unity and power necessary to drive the church to the boiling point, a point of revival. Now, folks, right now, where is the fire? Where is the revival? It would appear that God is just set back, longing for us to continue His ministry without restraint, but that has not happened. That hasn't happened. So let me ask you again, are we ready for God to do something, to ignite a fire? Ignite a fire, to turn up the heat? It is common knowledge that God wants His church to manifest glory, His glory, in these last days. Common knowledge. So He's currently moving us, pushing us, driving us, or He will be in the near future to produce the 212 degree church. I would imagine that some of you are already feeling the heat, and the rest of you will sense it in the near future. In the scriptures, John the Baptist spoke of another form of fire. This fire would produce a great harvest, but it would also separate the true believers from the religious, the followers of Jesus from the followers of the law. Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 16, says this, John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Today I'm declaring to you that the 212 degree church, and only the 212 degree church, will experience the kind of revival that we have only read about, the kind of revival that took place in generations past as God pours out His Spirit upon the earth in these last days. The fire of God's Spirit will not be contained or limited. Hallelujah. It will burn in the souls of those who make themselves available. Brothers and sisters, we must lay it all on the altar as a living sacrifice so that the fire of God will consume us. And just as fire transforms water, God's fire will transform us from weaklings to giants, equipping us with a power that is unshakable and unmovable. Glory. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 27. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. A devouring fire. Wow. God is looking for a body of believers who desire that one extra degree that will transform them and make a difference in this world. How about Turning Point Church? Are we willing to put forth that one extra degree of effort? That one extra degree of effort in our life, in our family, in our job, in our neighborhood, and especially in our church. It will separate the good from the great. Now listen, folks, we are part of something more than just a good church. We want to be a church that's on the move for God. I believe everyone that's part of this church would say yes to that. Amen? Will you ask Him to set this church apart from every other church? Will you pray asking for God's favor and His miraculous touch? We must press through the temptation to be just ordinary. Not only does the church need to overcome the temptation to be ordinary, but so do each one of us who declare ourselves as Jesus' followers. So let's first examine ourselves. Are we ordinary? Can we be identified as Christians? Do others recognize you as Christians by your attitude, your behavior, your vocabulary? Can others tell that you follow Jesus Christ, His word, His teachings? Or do you come across as just ordinary, behaving no differently than the rest of the world? Just trying to get along. So many people today just try to get along. Folks, we must take our personal life, our personal relationship with Jesus, to the boiling point. Our personal fire to the boiling point. That's why God is pushing me, and consequently you, to that next dimension. But to go there, we must reach beyond the ordinary. So let's turn up the heat on our personal commitment. Let's turn up the heat. Do you realize that your commitment level to God is your source of energy and the source of your fire? To totally committed to the Lord will ignite us, and by His Holy Spirit, the embers of passion will be stirred. The fire will rage, and then the boiling point. So let's pray, let's fast, let's worship with a fervor like never before. Because in this day, everyone needs revival. Amen. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that in life there is such a small margin of error between success and failure? For example, the average margin of victory in the Indy 500 car race over the last 10 years has been 1.54 seconds. That means number one comes in and the second place comes in 1.54 seconds behind the first place. Not much difference. The prize money for first place is $1,278,813. The prize money for second place is $621,321. That is a difference of $657,492. During every race, a driver and a team put forth an extraordinary effort, pushing themselves to the limit to obtain the prize that is far greater than the endurance required. There's a prize for us, folks. Amen. There's a prize for us. What would happen if Turning Point Church recognized that an extra degree of effort on our part would also determine the prize? Wow. 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 It would determine the prize not only for us, but for every sinner and backslider who lives within your realm of influence. Folks, it's your life. It's your life. You are personally responsible for the results of your life. The results that come from your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. God has placed in our charge the most profound opportunity imaginable to accomplish the extraordinary in His kingdom. It's time to turn up the heat. Yeah. It's time to turn up the heat. You have access, every one of us has access to the most powerful resources available to man today. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? It's only natural that you would be held accountable for what you have been given. In his parable of the unfaithful, presumptuous servant, Jesus speaks of the responsibility of stewardship in fulfilling God's will. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 47, says this, "And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required." The book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is not returning for lukewarm, indifferent people. He is expecting to find the steam rising from a 212 degree church. A church which operates under the influence and anointing of the Holy Spirit. A church with a fire. A fire. No longer will we be like every other church and every other people. Let's get on fire, folks. Let's get on fire. There's a quote that says this, "To get what we have never had, we must do what we have never done. To get what we have never had, we must do what we've never done." The smallest of effort from each one of us can make the greatest difference in the future of our church and the future ministry in our communities. Just a small effort. Let's get on fire. Let's get on fire. Now, allow me to close with these thoughts, and then I want to minister to some people. God is calling us. God is calling us to have a 212-degree attitude. The only thing that stands between a person and what they want in life is the will to try it and the faith to believe it's possible. I'm going to say that again. The only thing that stands between a person and what they want in life is the will to try it and the faith to believe it is possible. This attitude I'm talking about is made up of some things. The first one is a 212 degree of kindness. Kindness. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this: one of the most beautiful compensations in life is that we will never help another person without also helping ourselves. Wow. We also need a 212 degree belief. Belief. Belief fuels enthusiasm, and enthusiasm explodes into passion. It fires our soul and it lifts our spirit. Then a 212 degree focus. We must have God's goal in mind and stay focused upon that goal until it's achieved. And a 212-degree perseverance. Amen. Perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. Can we be a 212-degree church? Lord's had me on this subject. Some of you may remember Out of the Box Church. We need to do more. We're too comfortable and too ordinary. And I don't want one or two doing everything. I want us all to do a little. We can make a difference. We don't have to be ordinary. But it takes more than Joe Schumann or Glenn Brown or L. Juan Carter. It takes more than Larry Zilke or Dave or Kathleen. It takes all of us. It takes all of us, folks, to do what God wants us to do. He has been silent in so many ways, but that's fixing to stop. If we're just ordinary, we can miss what he's doing. What a shame. What a shame. There's someone here, and I'll give this as an explanation or a example of what I'm talking about. There's someone here, the Lord told me, that they've been wanting to talk to this neighbor about Jesus for a long, long time. And every time they set out to do it, they stop. They stop. That one degree of effort is when you quit stopping. And you make it to that neighbor's house. And then you let the Lord lead the conversation. That's not a whole lot, is it? That's one degree of effort. A little more than what you've been doing. And whoever I'm talking to, their heart has been toward that person. So it's just being faithful to what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good, folks. He won't leave you out there all by yourself. He'll walk right over there to that neighbor's house with you. Amen. You have something precious inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm so glad we're on this side of the cross. The Holy Ghost can empower you to do whatever God puts in your heart to do. You heard a testimony this morning. When God does something, He prepares the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we be a 212-degree church? Can we make a little steam? Can we not be ordinary? Can we worship harder, pray harder, fast harder? Give Him everything. Give Him everything. Bible class today, we started talking about finances, wealth. Did you know God owns everything? Do you know you're only a servant of His? Wow. So many times we let that, the things that are really His, determine what we do in life. And all the time He's saying, come on, come on. I'm behind you. I'm behind you. Do it. Do it. Make a difference. Praise God. All week long, I've been asking God to minister to some people this morning. Carol, I want you to come up front. Joe, you come with. Most of you know that Carol has been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
I got a good report this week, though.
Praise God.
I've gained all my strength back on my left side just with one round of physical therapy.
Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray for Carol because I don't think she needs it. I don't think she needs Parkinson's. Bottom of my heart, I don't think she needs it. Will you pray with me?
Yes. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I've got an oil here somewhere. Jesus, so many things we experience, we know are out of your area of blessing. We know where this particular disease comes from. And we rebuke it this morning. Lord, first of all, we place Carol in your arms, in your hands, Lord God. And Lord, we ask for the supernatural anointing. We ask for your healing virtue to flood her body and push this disease out. Lord, there's no question that you're the healer. So, Lord, I ask you to intervene, to do a mighty work in Carol. Lord God, to set her free from this sickness. And I ask you to do that through the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you paid the price. I believe when you were on that cross, you knew about Carol and this disease. And Lord, I believe you paid enough to set her free. Thank you, Lord God, for all you do and what you're going to do in my sister's life right now. Lord God, the doctors will be amazed. The report will continue being good. And Joe will jump for joy over the news he hears about his wife. Thank you, Lord, for these good and wonderful things. And I praise your name. I praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Nicole, I want to pray for you. Lord, I lift Nicole to you. Lord, what a joyous event that she and John are looking forward to. But Lord, I want to ask. I want you to put her in your protective care. These babies, Lord, I ask that they be in your protective care. Lord, I pray that these babies will stay in their mama's womb long enough that there is no trouble when they're born. Lord, I thank you for newness of life. I thank you for the precious gift of a baby. Babies.
Thank you.
And Lord, I ask you to take care of my sister.
Thank you, Father.
Again, with your healing virtue. With your blessings, Lord God. With your ministry.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Don't go anywhere. You're another one I need to pray for. Lord, I lift Dawn to you. Lord, you know this precious lady had a terrible accident.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Near death. But Lord, you saved her.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I know that she has some remaining problems from that accident. And Lord, I know that you know how to fix it. Jesus, again, a healing in this body, Lord God, in this mind, clear thought, your word says you give us a sound mind, and I ask that blessing be poured out on Dawn. Even on this birthday, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and what you've done. In Jesus' name. Thank you for saving her life, Lord. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Here, Cheryl. I didn't see you there in the chair. Hallelujah. We heard that. We heard good reports.
Almost none on my pelvic bone now.
It's not active.
Not active.
Wow.
And I have some other illnesses. The arthritis in my bones is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And my intestinal area is just, it's bad and needs some help.
Yeah. Amen. Lord, I thank you for Cheryl. Lord, we rejoiced when we heard the report of this cancer, about this cancer. Lord, we cry when we hear these reports about this digestive system. Lord, you know how to fix both of these. For that cancer, we know that that's straight from the pits of hell, a cell in rebellion. Has the fingerprints of the devil all over him. So, Lord, we ask for your ministry to Cheryl. And we rebuke Satan and cast him away in Jesus' name. Satan, this is God's property. And you can't invade her anymore. Lord, this digestive problem that she has, you know how to fix it. Lord, I ask that this healing virtue will flood her body and do a great work. And her and Larry can testify of your goodness. Lord, allow her to eat. Allow her to gain her weight back that she's lost. And Lord God, bless her with long life.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, I truly thank you for the doctors and what they do, but I know this healing first comes from you. And that's what we're asking for in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Daya, can you come up? Hey, it's all right if we do this for a few minutes, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. Daya needs a kidney, or God needs to heal the kidney she has. She goes to dialysis 2 or 3 times a week. I'm not sure. We speak to these kidneys.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Lord, I ask you to heal my precious sister. To do a work that only you can do, Lord. Lord, I ask you to set her free from this dialysis. I ask that you just create even a new kidney if necessary. I believe you're still in the creating business, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Lord God, do something precious and wonderful and miraculous.
Thank you.
For Daya, Lord. Lord God, take these simple prayers and perform a miracle because of them. Lord, we thank you. I know she will give you the praise. She'll give you the credit. She'll give you the glory and praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, do this in Jesus' name. And we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mr. Chuck, come on up here. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not sure what all goes on in you. Your legs, I know you have sleep problems. There may be more, but God knows.
Lupus.
Lupus also. Holy Spirit. Jesus, God, you created this man even in his mother's womb. You know everything about him. There's nothing that you don't know. Jesus, there's some things that are not right. You know that too. So we're here combining our faith, asking the Holy Spirit to touch Chuck and to minister your healing virtue. Lord, I know He will also give you the praise.
Yes.
So these legs, Lord God, the lupus, Lord, the sleep, and whatever else, we just place it on You, Lord, on those stripes that were placed on Your back. Jesus, heal my brother. Heal my brother. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Christy. Thank you, Lord. Here's another lupus. Lord, we prayed for Christy before. And we will keep praying. Lord, we rebuke lupus in the name of Jesus. I ask You just to flood this lady with Your healing powers and healing virtue. I ask You to have mercy on her and just pour out with an everlasting love for her, Lord, and an everlasting healing for her. Jesus, You are so good to us. We love Christy. We know You love Christy. And I ask that You do this because of that great love You have for her. Lord God, set her free. Set her free, Lord, in Jesus' name. Break the chains that bind her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we give You praise.
Yes, Lord.
And she will praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, folks. Thank You, Jesus.